of people get that scripture messed up because it's not talking about, like, when they were saying that, that was the seat of government. And so most of the people thought that their problem could be fixed at the seat of government. But what they were saying is, I'm looking past the highest part of the solution, and I'm looking to you. I'm looking towards the hills from which cometh my... What you've got to understand is that the obstacle's coming. But are you moving from the position that God's called you to into a position of fear? Or are you going to be like David, who sees the opposition or the obstacle, and he actually steps towards it? We live in the most scariest time for weak Christians. And I have to be honest, because at the moment there is any opposition, we retreat. We shut up. We stop talking. It is quiet in here. Our faith, that's what happens though. And what God is saying is, did you not know that I orchestrated for you to be here? That before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. I know the number of hairs on your head. Hair on your head. Do you not know that every obstacle that you face has a loss next to it? If you would just stand up and face it. And there was an entire Israel army who were trained, who had gone through practice and battle, and none of them, when an obstacle came, did anything. So watch this. Okay, I'm going to help somebody. Romans 12:2. I'm going to teach today. I'm teaching today, okay? It says, don't copy the behaviors and the customs of this world. Don't retreat in your thinking. Don't go backwards. But let God, everybody say this good word right here, transform. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. It's your perspective. But you only get perspective from what you see. And a lot of us have not been seeing the promises of God fulfilled through scripture and seeing the promises of God. That's why you gotta put your eyes on the Bible. That's why, more than scrolling, because that's the customs of the world. And now your faith is being built on something that has not lasted. But God says, the flowers wither, the grass withers and the flowers fade. But my word will stand forever. And this is why I'm calling you to a place of real devotion with God. Because the only thing you're going to have to stand on when obstacles come is what God has already said. I know there's a lot of people in this room right now that you just wish God would do an Aladdin and a genie type situation. You get 3 wishes. And I'll make whatever wish you want come to pass. We don't serve a genie. He said, you got to go through this. Everybody just say through. But on the other side of this crap, there's elevation. On the other side of this crap, there's healing. On the other side of this crap, there's restoration. On the other, no, somebody needs to hear me. On the other side, if I can just stay with it and I can go through it, there is another level on the other side. Somebody give God some praise right there. I'm having to work a little bit, okay? As Christians, we should be offensive more than defensive. All we do is wait for the enemy to come, and we just trying to just, oh Lord, please don't let him score on us. Like, but at some point, we have to go towards the obstacle. I love David because he's a gangster. Because I found a trick. See, when you're marked, just write this down and I'll explain it. When you're marked, you make inquiries of victory. Now I'm expanding some of your vocabulary right now. inquiries means is questions. You ask questions that lead to victory. I was studying this whole thing out and I was like, what's the difference between the children of Israel and David? And I found out there was one difference. The questions they asked. Watch this. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 25. Now the Israelites had been saying from their place of fear, look at the questions that they're asking. Oh my God, y'all, do you see how this man keeps coming out? That's the only question they ask. Do you see how he keeps coming out? And he comes out to defy Israel. 40 days? We're not asking, how do we ambush him? We're not asking, like, there's one of him. There's like 10,000 of us. How could we? They literally ask a question to make sure other people's perspective is the same as theirs. Do y'all see him coming out here? Defying our God?
Yeah, we all see him.
Okay. But that's how most believers look. Didn't God say that you could have healing? No, but I know he did, but we're just going to stay right here and we're just going to ask, what did the doctor say? Like that's the only question you're going to ask? Okay. I'm stepping on people's toes right now. I can tell y'all are just lasering through me. Okay. So he asked that, but look what David starts doing. He overheard a couple dudes talking, and in the bottom half of verse 25, he said, y'all know the king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He'll give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt him and his family from ever paying taxes again. Here's the elevation. So there's an obstacle, but there's an elevation too. You about to get paid, you about to get a wife and no taxes. So look what questions David starts asking. David asked the men standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills the Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Do y'all see the difference in the tone of his question? It was not a question, do y'all see him? It was a question of offense. What happens if I kill him? What happens if this marriage lasts? What happens? Y'all don't hear me. What happens if my kids come out of this drug addiction? What happens if I buy the house in the neighborhood? He was making inquiries of victory. Everybody shout at me, victory. Your questions are too weak. You're asking questions about, well, what will happen if we lose this apartment? I'm not asking no more questions based in fear. I'm asking questions based in faith. And then look at his next question. He said, who is? By the way, hold on, excuse me. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He ain't even on our level. What is cancer? When he said, by his stripes, we are healed. I'm trying to tell you, God is not in drought from healing people. We are in lack of faith to believe that he can. And I know some people don't believe this. But people who don't believe us have the same thing that they have. Nothing. Because it tells us that without faith, it's impossible for God to work and to do what he wants to do. And all of us want God to prove himself to us. And he's saying, if you would just get the faith to believe me. He said, your questions would change. The type of questions you're asking are exposing your faith quick. See, David had a lens of victory, while the entire children of Israel had a lens of defeat. Okay, let me help you understand this. I have another daughter. Her name's Bella. She's 5. And so one day, She said, Daddy, can we go get a slushie? She really's into slushies at Quick Trip now, like mixing all the flavors and like doing all that stuff, like on a sugar high. And I was like, Bella, yeah, we'll go get a slushie today. And she said, okay. But then there were some obstacles that came in her way. Some meetings, some people came over unexpectedly. So she kept coming by and she kept saying, Dad, are we gonna go get a slushie today? And I said, yeah, baby. But she's like, but these things keep happening. She's five. These things keep happening. But I said, baby, don't worry. We're going to go get a slushie. I don't know if my daughter read 1 Samuel chapter 17. But the next time she came to me about an hour later, she wasn't asking the question, are we going to get a slushie? Her faith was making me have to move from where I was at as her provider. Watch what she did. She came up to me and she said, Daddy, what flavor of slushy are you getting? See, some of y'all, you need to go from asking, will we get the victory, to what are we gonna do with the spoils? Some of y'all, to stop asking the wrong question. And what it did was it made me as her father know that we got to get to slushy. Because her faith is that we're already picking flavors. Oh. And this is what you have to see. Whenever you face an obstacle, some of you need to stop asking, can I afford to go to college? And you need to start asking, what classes am I going to take? No. You need to build your faith. You need to stop asking, where will I live when this divorce is over? And you need to start asking, where are we going on vacation next summer, honey? Because we're going to be together and we're going to love each other. I told myself, Michael, don't ever ask the question, when are we going to get another building, God? He said, don't ask that question no more. He said, start thinking like this. I wonder who God's going to use to underwrite the whole thing when we buy a new building. I wonder. Because there was an obstacle, David's faith was that this is just par for the course. This is necessary for what God's called me to do. But his speech was rooted in faith. And so I know I'm preaching, Brother Luke, I know. So I came to tell you, if you're marked, upgrade the quality of your questions. Stop asking the stuff that addresses the crap. Ask the stuff that will eliminate it and put you in another place. There's elevation on the other side of this crap. I need somebody to hear me. Just say it with me. There's elevation on the other side of this crap. I'm trying to tell you, but you'll stay on the wrong side of this if you think in doubt. Some of y'all are trying to believe, well, God, who am I going to get a ride with next? You need to start thinking, what color? A vehicle. No, as a man thinketh. See, some of our hearts are so broken to even, it don't cost you nothing to think. Thinking is free. Believing is free. And many of us are standing in the same place waiting for God to defeat an obstacle that he said, no, we're going to have to go through this one. But I want you to think of yourself on the other side of this victory before you even have to face it. Okay. I'm going to try to get through this, Charles. I'm going to try to get through it. I'm going to try. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 25. Because right now, I'm waging war against the way you've thought. And some of y'all been thinking this way for 35 years, 22 years, 10 years. And so today I'm pushing through teaching that you will face obstacles. Yeah, but don't worry. God's already overcome every obstacle that you're ever going to face. Now watch this, because this is going to hit some people on a different level. Because it's one thing to be going through a big obstacle. This is a giant. Like literally of the time, it's a giant. But, I mean, it sucks and it's frustrating. But at least if I only had one obstacle at a time, I think maybe I'd be okay. But what happens when you have many obstacles at the same time? How many people have had more than one obstacle at the same? How many people are going through more than one obstacle? Okay. This is for y'all. For all the other people, y'all turn your ears off, okay? David comes to do this. He's interrupted by his obstacle, Goliath. He says, what do I get? And I'm gonna kill this guy. And he asks the right questions. And then look what happens in verse 28. 1 Samuel 17, verse 28. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger. And he asked him, why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few little sheep in the wilderness? And with whom did you leave those little sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down here only to watch the battle. What happens when you're dealing with a physical battle of a giant or a sickness or something, and then somebody that you love, like somebody that should know your heart, that they were there when you were in the field and didn't get invited to the party, and they watched God anoint you in a small area and have watched your elevation, and then they try to use it against you and stab you with it? Who'd you leave them little sheep with? His brother was trying to remind him of his past. I want you to see this. This is so good. Look what David said. Now what have I done? Can I even speak? And then he did something so powerful. He then turned away. I want you to see that. Put 1 Samuel 17, verse 30 up there. It said, he then, everybody say turned. Turn. Away. Okay, what happens when you have two obstacles? And one obstacle you feel grace to tackle, Goliath. And then this unexpected obstacle comes out of nowhere from somebody you love. It's a sucker punch. Okay? When you're marked, don't engage intentional ignorance. If David would have started fighting with his brother right then, that would have been a distraction to his elevation. Oh my God, Eliab, what are you talking about? And if they would have been able to hash out all of that, it would have turned into a Jerry Springer episode. Right there on the front lines. But David had to be mature enough. This is a cuss word for a lot of y'all. Mature enough to, in the face of another obstacle, he had to turn away. What have you been giving your energy and effort to that is not important? It's something that we need to heal. His relationship with his brother does need to heal. And this is an obstacle. But we're standing here on the front lines of a war. And many of us, because it's easier, we turn to the thing that's actually the distraction and give our energy to that. So you're fighting with a coworker at your job. and being petty. When God said, no, the real giant is your pride. So we're supposed to be fighting this, but this is closer and right here. And today, many of you, if you're ever going to meet that obstacle that's going to bring you elevation, you're going to have to do what David did. You're going to have to, everybody say, turn away. I found that in the Christian faith, there's so many of us that get distracted from our destiny because we turn to the obstacle that doesn't move us forward. We turn to the obstacle that takes us to our past. Everything that Eliab and David would have talked about had nothing to do with the future. It had everything to do with his past. He even said it. He wanted to send him back to the past church. It was the wrong obstacle to fight. Because even if I win this, it's just winning something that was in the past. But if I face the right obstacle that looks bigger, that's scarier, that nobody's been able to go against, that obstacle defeated leads me to the palace. So are you fighting the right battles? Pastor Mike, what? Why did you come at us this way today? Because I'm trying to raise up a church who is not weak. Obstacles are coming. Excuse me. Obstacles are here. Hold on. What are we talking about? But are we going to retreat? Are we going to forcefully advance towards what God has called us to? Let's go back to that James scripture. Because all obstacles are not created equally. James 1, 2, and 8. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters. Whenever you face many kinds of trials or obstacles, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Now watch this. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. The obstacle is to finish you, not finish you off, to complete making you. So the reason he allows it to happen is because he knows there's no other way. He made you. He know you. There's no other way you're going to become grateful until you lose something that you really wanted. And then he takes you through what he's called you to, restores it, gives you more than you had before, but now you can appreciate it because you went through the obstacle. He knows you. He's trying to complete you. He's trying to get you to the image that he created before you got here. And so today, I'm just going to pray one simple prayer for everybody. Is that your obstacle would not take you out, but you would take your obstacle out. Can you just lift your hands if you want that today? Father, I'm thanking you. I don't know what everybody's going through, but you do. And you're such a good father that you position that obstacle so that we could be victorious over. God, I thank you that all the interruptions, God, they're introductions to our elevation. I thank you, Father God, that even in this moment right now, Father, all the questions that we've been asking in doubt, we now shift our position to faith. And we're going to ask inquiries of victory, Father God. I thank you in this place right now in the name of Jesus that you've called us, Father God, to forcefully advance the kingdom of God. So we're not going to run away from obstacles. We're actually going to run towards them, Father. You gave David the victory, but it's because he found his trust in you. And Father, I thank you for the maturity for every person in here to not engage, Father God, in the ignorance that's trying to distract them right now. Yeah, there's obstacles and people talking it, people posting it, people saying this. But Father God, let us keep our eyes on the thing that's taking us into our future and not the thing that's going to drag us back to our past. God, we will be elevated, but it comes through obstacles. But we take heart because you're making us in this season. We are marked by God, and we'll do everything you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God a shout of praise in this place. Oh, come on, if you know you're marked, and the obstacle's not going to take you out, but you're going to take it out. Hey, listen. This is a word that's going to sit with you all week. And an obstacle's going to come. And you're going to have to look at these notes. And you're going to say, oh, I know what to do. And then your sister going to call and be like, we don't spend enough time together. And you're going to be like, baby, I love you, but we're going to have to talk in just a little bit. Beep. Because some things are trying to distract you from what God's called you to take out right now. If you're in this room and you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity today. Why face these obstacles of life on your own? Why not have the God of the universe on your side? Would everybody just bow your head and close your eyes? If you're in this room and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to give you that opportunity today. At the end of that James scripture, it says that you can ask for wisdom and God will give it to you liberally. That's when you have a relationship with God where you can just ask him anything. And today, I want you to have that relationship. Just a moment, we're going to pray. And everybody's going to pray for the benefit of those who are coming to Christ. But in this room, I feel that somebody needs to submit and give their life, give control back over to God. And so today, let's pray this prayer. And only God and you know if you mean it. But I feel like some people are making a transition into a new way of living today. Everybody just say, God, thank you for sending Jesus. Today, I give you my life. I turn over the controls. I believe that you lived, you died, and you rose again just for me. Today, be my Lord. Transform me. Renew me. In Jesus' name. Amen.